I'm Ryan Huddart and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ravens Weekly. This is episode 46. Yes, you heard me right, 46. We've made it this far. I think we are just as surprised as anyone. By we, my company this afternoon, David Cook. How are we doing?
I'm not bad, Matt. How are you?
Yes, very well, thank you. We are once again without Jeff this week. We thought he was going to be one off, but he's otherwise engaged tonight.
Lucky for us.
Lucky for him, you mean. but we've still got loads of quality content coming up. Cookie, what are we going to go through today?
Yeah, well, today we're going to start off with, we're going to catch up on the game against Yeovil.
We are indeed. We're going to hear from Neil Smith on that match and a couple of other things that occurred during it.
Obviously, we've got a squad update to bring you if you haven't heard already this week.
Absolutely. We're going to chat to the new member of the squad who we will reveal very shortly.
We're going to catch up with Bromley's youth win in the FA Cup.
And we're going to have another Mark's Minutes feature. I think this is becoming weekly now, isn't it?
Yes, well, hopefully, if he wants to keep it up. And we're going to hear from the Barrow fan with his piece on the away team that we're playing this weekend.
So let's get started, Cookie. Obviously, away to Yeovil Town last week. Going into the game, there was a lot of expectation on both sides, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, they Yeovil went into the game undefeated in, what, six, seven?
Six wins on the trot.
Six wins on the trot, and it was going to be a difficult task. I know there was some in about what Bromley could do, and unfortunately, the game completely taken out of our hands in the first 60 seconds of the game, Matt. I wasn't there, but obviously getting all of the messages and listening to the commentary, it must have been very difficult to commentate on for yourself and Jeff and for all of the fans to witness. Saw the highlights on it, and well, yeah, Mark Cousins, it was a ball played in and a mistake, I think, from Mark Anthony led him to chase back and chase down the striker for Yeovil, and obviously, unfortunately, just a clash of heads when running into the box left both players knocked out. And obviously Mark Cousins coming off the worst, having to be removed by ambulance, and luckily though he was released from hospital and did manage to get back on the team coach for the way home. But for them, 2-3 hours, there was no real update and didn't really know what was going on. I was getting some inkling because I was back at the club and I was helping sort of like with some of the medical notes etc and getting them across, so I was probably hearing a bit more than most people. But a lot of concerned people out there. I think there was concerned Yeovil fans, despite what had obviously gone on with other items on the day. There were concerned Yeovil fans. We got several emails on Monday morning just saying, obviously, wish Mark the best from them, and obviously Bromley fans as well. Mark's become an incredible part of this team. I know there were some people obviously questioning the signing at the start of the season, and we know he was one of Smudge's prime targets for a goalkeeper to replace David Gregory, and he's been phenomenal for us, let's face it, this season, as is everyone else. But Matt, just going back to the game, unfortunately we failed to defeat despite going surprisingly 1-0 up. But this was obviously, we didn't have a substitute goalkeeper, and upstep Chris Bush to go and goal for us.
Yeah, it was a very strange afternoon. Just to sort of expand on what you said there, for those of you who weren't there, a big shout out to the 148 that were, by the way, big commitment to make the journey, and thank you for your support. It was an incredibly emotional time. I think all of you who were listening to the commentary would have gauged that from myself and Jeff's voices and just what we were saying at the time. It was very unclear what was going on. Mark was down for 20 minutes, hence the 20 minutes of additional time at the end of the first half, and we didn't know what was going on. Luckily, Reece Murphy, the centre forward for Yeovil, managed to walk off the pitch after being down for 10 minutes, but with Mark still down and motionless, and then the spinal board coming out and the neck brace, you know, you feared the worst. But it's good to know that actually it's not as bad as maybe we would have thought. However, it is still a serious injury.
I think the most sickening thing with it is obviously that they clashed heads. He had tried to get up and just dropped to the floor. He clearly looked like he was hurt. just going on to it, obviously, just back to Mark, he did sustain a very serious shoulder injury where the ligaments and all of the muscles, etc., separated from the bone. I think they said it was a
grade 5.
Grade 5 tear, which is very severe.
The worst, yeah.
Just to give an update on Mark's condition, he did have surgery on Tuesday, so that's how fantastic that it's been worked and getting him in that quick. To have everything in place correctly and the helper pull the physio and everything. He went in for surgery Tuesday. And it was apparently, touchwood, initially it's been a success.
Yeah, it is. I spoke to Mark yesterday actually, and he was just saying, you know, how surprised he is and how quickly he's been able to get any credit to the club, a credit to the medical staff for getting it done so quickly. He said, obviously, initially we thought it was a grade 3 tear. It's actually a grade 5, but because it's been dealt with so quickly and efficiently, the time he's estimated to be out is the same. And Mark's actually just said to me, would I mind passing on his thanks to all of the supporters, regardless of what club you're from, for your messages of support and your concerns. He said it means a lot to him, and that he's now fully focusing on his rehabilitation, being able to get back into training and hopefully being able to help the team come the new year. So, yeah. Best wishes to Mark.
But obviously, with it, Bromley started off by surprisingly going to go up thanks to Michael Cheek.
Yeah, it was a typical Michael Cheek goal. He was in the right place at the right time. His positional sense is unbelievable. Never seen anything like it. Good header from Kizzy from the Doughty free kick to get the ball across the face of goal. And then he made no mistake finishing. And actually, we were surprised, I think is the word you used there. And that's correct, because of obviously the emotional state that everybody was in, the fact where they've been waiting around for 20 minutes. Chris Bush was in goal, and it really was. We didn't see ourselves going 1-0 up, but we did. And actually, we were the better side in the first half. It was really unfortunate. 4 minutes into 19 added on at the end of the first half, we conceded. And again, you look at the goal, and it's one that was avoidable. And had we had our full first choice, I guess, goalkeeper in goal, possibly wouldn't have happened. Maybe if Bush was in defence, he would have got the ball away. But yeah,
Alfie Doughty had the chance to put us 2 up, didn't he? And
yeah,
unfortunately,
point,
he just missed Luke Calls, and he shot rather than passed, and it could have put Bromley 2 up. So many different events, but what you can't say is they lost in an even game, or they were the better side. Other circumstances come to that, and I think it's the first time that Neil and the team have sat down and they haven't really reviewed the Barrow game. They review every game in extensive detail, but there was nothing to review from Yeovil. It was an own goal. Our player got injured and they scored from a header and then another goal at the end. There was nothing that you can really say was that was really massively that they went out and they absolutely romped us.
No, they weren't. They're by far not the best side I've seen this season. I mean, there's sides that have come here and played a lot better than them. They weren't anything special. They were very physical. Got, I think, 6 yellow cards, which, yeah, I don't even really need to say any more on that, I don't think. But
the ball boys.
Yeah, ball boy game.
About that.
Yeah, well, I think the first instance of it was when they were 3-1 up, and it's over the near side where Jeff and I sat, and the ball's come over to the ball boy. He's gone to pick it up, and Sam Wood's gone and said, look, give me the ball, mate. Not in a rude manner or anything. He's just sort of delayed it and taken his time. The ref wasn't very happy with it as he was clasping onto the ball and didn't give it to Sam Wood. So he had a word with the chief steward. Anyway, Sam Wood got the ball, took the throw in. Blow me down. 2 minutes later, if that. 2 minutes later, the same thing happens. And this time, the ball boy actually rolls the ball away from Sam Wood. So, of course, the referee's gone straight to the chief steward again. And then you see the head, I guess, of the ball boys or the coach of their team or whatever go along and not only get the ball boy in question off to a lot of cheers from the Yeovil fans, I must add, but all of them. And I forgot to say, actually, while all this delay was taking place, the Yeovil captain goes over to the ball boy and you expect him to say, look, mate, you know, you don't want to get yourself into trouble, you know, calm it down. He gives him a high five and walks off.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really needed, is it? I mean, people say you can nitpick and stuff like that, but it's not needed. But on good news is I think Bromley, we're playing Yeovil at home on the 30th of November. Coincidentally, that's when we're going to launch our new ball boy scheme. So for the game,
no. You weren't meant to say that yet.
But no, it's needless. And people will say, "Oh, they're only ball boys. They don't know best, and they're only kids." And it's not needed. It's not needed. But I mean, there's been many ball boys at many football grounds that have been to, and yeah, you always get, unfortunately, a silly lot that think it's all funny for now. But guarantee the shoe on the other foot. Yeovil would have been fuming with that as well, and they would have been rearing up. But hey, you know what? Bromley's first loss in 14 games. Yeah. It's been an incredible run. I think Smudge is now going to look to go another 14 games unbeaten, and hopefully it can start with Barrow. So we're pressing that a little bit later. But you know what, Matt? Obviously, we caught up with Neil Smith after the game, and here's what he had to say.
Neil, it was obviously a bit of a strange game last week away to Yeovil. What are your thoughts now that the dust has settled a little bit?
Yeah, I'm still disappointed that we lost, really. You know, even having, you know, a centre-half in goal and losing Mark Cousins, who, you know, we're dearly going to miss. It was really weird because other than that, they didn't have any shots, you know, and then we put one for our own goal. But we had chances to score, and that was against a team that had obviously, you know, everyone's telling me they're the best team in the league, and I think we should have done better against them. So, yeah, it was frustration, but, you know, we go again. You know, our major concern after that game was obviously Mark Cousins, and, you know, now he's had the operation. He's on his way to getting back fit. And healthy, and you know, now we've brought in Ryan, you know, our support and our everything goes on to him now.
And obviously Ryan Huddart, a good sign in England, Sea goalkeeper, ex-Arsenal, 6'6".
Yeah, he gives us a presence obviously in the 18 yard box. He obviously knows the division, and you know, if we'd have got a loan, then you know, you're struggling for FA Cup clearances and stuff like that with players. So it was a, you know, a conscious decision to get someone in who's our keeper, and obviously he'll comes with that experience as well of being in this division with Borehamwood, and it's a fantastic acquisition for this club.
And obviously home to Barrow tomorrow, side that are in good form, 5 wins on the spin.
Yeah, no, Ian's done a fantastic job there, and I think he's telling everyone, you know, he wants to make it 7 wins on the spin against Bromley Football Club. You know, it's going to be a tough game, we know that. They always are against a Barrow side. They're very direct, very physical, and we're going to be ready for it to be a cracking game if we can get the supporters in as well like we did, because they play a major part on giving us that little bit of extra against the opposition. You know, all the best.
Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Okay, and obviously due to the injury to Mark Cousins, Neil Smith had to act quickly and get a replacement in. And obviously that has happened, Cookie.
That was quick.
It was, yeah.
I think Sunday or Saturday evening, Sunday morning, I think everything was near enough done, wasn't it, with how quick they acted. And it's just the urgency and how good Neil Smith is with his contacts and knowing his next target, who it will be. And upstairs, England C, Borehamwood player Ryan Huddart, 22 years old.
Yeah, and 6'6", I must add. Yeah, he was on the bench for Arsenal in a few Champions League games, and I think the pick of those was Borehamwood, Borussia Dortmund, not quite. And actually, I think he got his move there. Obviously, Arsenal under-23s play their games at Borehamwood as well, so that kind of tied in. But he's actually more local to Bromley than he is Borehamwood. He's from Broadstairs, which, lovely area, I know from my days growing up, lovely area, and not too far away. Lovely guy. I think we've all met him now, haven't we?
Oh, he's brilliant.
And good pedigree.
Proper gentleman. Yeah, lovely bloke. Just been seeing him in training. You've seen on Instagram and some of the stuff, the footage that people have been getting in the club this week. Unbelievable. Sort of like some of the saves he's pulling off. He already feels comfortable. I think he's happy with the training routine, and he's happy to be under Neil Smith, and everyone's made him feel welcome. I think he's been with Luke Coulson before, so I think they know each other, so he's fitted in quite comfortably. Yeah, and it's a welcome to the family, but again, one that we see is a future. Hopefully he's going to have a long future, but that was a permanent deal, so I think it shows that Neil Smith isn't messing about. We're now going to obviously have two keepers when Mark Cousins returns.
Two good goalkeepers.
Two great goalkeepers. And we're now going to see. And I think with Ryan Huddart, he'd done well for Borehamwood in previous seasons or last year, sorry. But David Gregory came along, I think, when Ryan Huddart was injured. And he just didn't get back into the squad. But obviously, Gregory's a good keeper as well. But I think hopefully we've got a very good talent in Ryan Huddart that we'd be able to bring forward and help bloom. And yeah, very, very exciting to see.
And the upshot of that, Cookie, on a slight side note, is that after Huddart's departure from Boreham Wood, they moved quickly to sign Nathan Ashmore on loan. And obviously the controversial part of this is that Ashmore, when playing for Ebbsfleet last season, jumped into the crowd behind the goal and was involved in, well, a scrap? I don't really know what to call it.
Yeah, well, he's involved in several scraps last year, and one being at Chesterfield and one being at Boreham Wood, and they didn't take too kindly to him. So it will be interesting to see what the reception will be, one when he's warming up, and if he's going to manage to challenge David Gregory for the first team jersey. But obviously Nathan Ashmore was pretty outspoken when it comes to social media about him not being paid at Ebbsfleet, rightly so, and also sort of about being told that he's too fat to be in the squad, and Gary Hill made him go to the gym and stuff, and he made his voice outspoken with that. So yeah, good goalkeeper that they've got there, and challenge Gregory, but back to Bromley. I think it's exciting to see Ryan Huddart, and looking forward to this weekend. He's going to go straight in with against Barrow.
Yes, well, we know that for sure, and we'll talk about the opposition Barrow very shortly. I caught up with the man himself, Ryan Huddart, on his arrival, and here's what he had to say. Ryan Huddart, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How does it feel?
Yeah, it feels really good. Really pleased to get it done. Happened really quickly. Obviously, unfortunately, Mark got a really bad injury on Saturday, and I wish him a speedy recovery. But yeah, no, I'm pleased to get over the line and get into such a good club and get running, really.
And what's your first day been like, and what are your initial impressions of what's around you?
Yeah, excellent. All the boys have been great. I know a few of them played with a few before. But no, it's been a really good start today. Training was really sharp. You can see why they're top of the league. That isn't a fluke. It was really intensive. And no, I really enjoyed it. Some really good players in here and really good lads as well, which is really important.
And you must be excited to work with Neil and obviously Jim Stannard, an established goalkeeper.
Yeah, no, the gaffer's been great. He's been really welcoming. I'm looking forward to playing under him. And obviously Jim's played at the top level himself, and he's coached for a long time. He's got a lot of experience, and he can improve me a lot as a goalie, which I look forward to working with him really closely on that. So yeah, it will be a good project with us here.
And obviously first game at home to Barrow on Saturday, looking forward to getting in front of the home crowd and getting started.
Yeah, can't wait. I've obviously played here a couple of times for Boreham Wood, and they're well followed, this club. They get a good gate, and I'm looking forward to get out there in front of them and do well for this team and be up there this year, and we'll be in and around it come the end.
Well, Ryan, welcome aboard.
No, thank you.
Well, Matt, Bromley Youth got their, or the under-18s got their campaign underway in the FA Youth Cup second qualifying round, where they was playing Corinthians on Tuesday night. And Matt, despite the horrendous weather, because the rain was really bad, luckily it being a 3G pitch and it was all fine and the drainage was excellent, Bromley rounded out comfortable winners in the end against Corinthians 6-1. But Matt, obviously a goal coming as early as 2-3 minutes into the game.
Yes, John Adebiyi scoring the first goal, header from a corner. He had a really good game in central midfield. It was 2-0 after just 11 minutes. Sam Awatafe with that goal, and then Shaike Kamara on 20 minutes to make it 3. And a lot of you remember him from the Tunbridge Angels away game in the Kent Senior Cup last year. Corinthians did get one back just 2 minutes after that, though, as a free kick took a big deflection and beat Cameron Edwards. I'm pretty sure that was an own goal, but I'm not 100% on that. Corinthian, I've got to say, were really good footballing side, and actually Cameron Edwards in the Bromley goal was quite busy for the entire game, actually. But for the second half, Bromley added another 3 goals, 2 from Ollie Tanner, which were absolutely fantastic goals, and then another one from AJ Martin as well. So six goals for Bromley in their first involvement in the FA Youth Cup, only one conceded, against a side who were evenly matching Bromley in possession and in terms of chances. So it says a lot for not only the attacking players, but the goalkeeper and the defence as well, who had to be resolute in, Cookie, you were there as well, torrential conditions. I think that's an understatement.
Well, it is, like I said at the start of the this segment, but also that to deal with midway into the second half, the linesman pulled up with a hamstring injury and had to be substituted, and had to get one of the Bromley Academy coaches on the agreement with the away team that he could take the line. So they was in for another 10 minutes trying to keep warm, and let's face it, we're not like the Premier League teams where if it's raining they can go in and change at half time and come back out. Even the first team at Bromley don't have the luxury, so they did come out in again in the sodden sort of like the sodden kit that they played in for goodness knows how long. So the game went on a little bit longer, but Bromley kept their composure. And I think they scored another two goals after that. So yeah, it was fantastic for them. It ties in really well, Matt, because obviously we caught up with Mark Hammond, this afternoon. And no real stories this weekend, but just the facts on the FA Youth Cup.
Mark's minutes.
And it's his birthday, so here's what he had to say on it. So, Mark, we're joined by Mark Hammond for Mark's Minutes. First of all, happy birthday for in the week. How'd you spend it, first of all?
What, the week or my birthday?
Your birthday.
No, it was very good, very well celebrated, but it was also the gaffer's birthday.
That's it, we'll come on to that in a minute. But 41 years young, don't look a day over 40. So just going into it was your... not only that, it was the FA Youth Cup this weekend, second round qualifying against Corinthians, and it turned out to be a fantastic victory.
Yeah, very good professional performance. Notable performances by Ollie Tanner, AJ, Chikey, Cameron. Very good advert for the club, and I believe we've got Averley away in the third round qualifying.
A very tough test, but a team that also plays on 3G.
Yes, yeah, very big pitch, but similar to ours, so hopefully, you know, the boys can mirror what they did on Tuesday night.
And the conditions, let's just note for the people that did turn up and watch the game would be witness to it as well, conditions were horrendous, weren't they? And also the second half, the play being delayed with the linesman with a hamstring injury. How did they cope and remain focused and with that?
They just returned to the changing room. Tom Beaumont and Jamal just, you know, spoke with them, kept them in the zone, kept them focused, and they came out and then they scored two within that 15 minutes. So again, very, very proud and pleased of the group and the staff on the performance.
Fantastic. And just want to say, obviously, happy birthday to you as well, Neil, in the week. I know Matt's caught up with you in the podcast as well, but how'd you spend your birthday?
Here. Yeah,
no, you live here.
Obviously, getting the weekend out of the way on the Monday. So it was a good evening. But, you know, you're back at work and you're preparing for the next game, which is Barrow tomorrow.
That's it. And obviously, just going into it as well, you was here for the FA Youth Cup. You must be proud of the performance. Even some of the lads like Ollie Tanner has been training with the first team. So to see the future of Bromley, you must have been impressed.
Very. You know, I'm sitting up there, you take a step back and you just see the future of this club. And it's in safe hands with obviously Hammo, Danny Mills, Tom Beaumont, Brownie as well, and Jamal, and you've got good people taking on good players, and we want to produce our own. And that was a great advert for the youth section of this club. And you know, I'm sitting up there watching it, and they're very professional, they do everything right. You know, they did have circumstances that might have just taken their mind off the game, but they didn't. They come out fully focused, like Mark said, and you know, got another couple of goals. And you know, I was, as manager of the Bromley Football Club, I was very proud of the young guys that went out there and put on a fantastic performance.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Neil. And Mark, anything else to add for Mark's Minutes?
No, I think that's we'll conclude there.
That's brilliant. Mark and Neil, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brilliant stuff, Cookie. Lovely to hear from Mark. He's always got a thing or two to say, hasn't he? Let's move on then to the visit of Barrow on Saturday. They're a side in fantastic form. They've won 5 on the spin, and they'll obviously be coming here looking to make it 6 on the spin. Hopefully, we've got a thing or two to say about that, but Ian Evatt's actually just popped in, hasn't he? And he's made a big difference to Barrow over the past couple of years. You remember, Cookie, the Barrow sides have played in the past. Very one-dimensional.
Can we just say why he's popped in?
Yeah.
They've come down. They've travelled down on the Friday when we're recording this podcast, and they're using the pitch to have a little training session, just stretch the legs, like we do when we go away, when we have overnights. There's a little area.
Just to clarify, it is a National League rule that if you have 3G pitches, you do have to allow the visiting side, if they request it within a certain time frame, an hour's training session.
They didn't request it in time.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, small issues, but I mean, obviously, Neil more than accommodating for that, and yeah. So they're training on the pitch as we speak. Got a little half hour, 40 minutes. But like I said, we've done it several times. You're on a coach journey for so long, just want to stretch your legs, team bond again before you get to your hotel for dinner and an early night.
Yeah, so a Barrow side, as I was saying, Cookie, Ian Everts, really changed their style of play, their tactics over the past couple of years since he's been in charge. They're now a much better football inside than we've known in the past.
Yes, they are. We know that previous years they've pretty much been mid-table or struggling, I think, last season. And this year they've had a fantastic run, currently in the playoffs. And they're, I think it's five games unbeaten at the moment.
Hartlepool were the last team to beat them on the 3rd of September.
So I think it's going to be a real test for Bromley tomorrow. But obviously we're looking to bounce back. So we're going to see how it goes tomorrow. But obviously we caught up with, who was it, Matt? Sorry?
Adam Johnson from BBC Radio Cumbria.
And here's what he had to say.
My name is Adam Johnson. I am the BBC Radio Cumbria football commentator for Barrow AFC. So where to start? I mean, just having a look at the season so far, I think it's been what you would expect, really, from the side. It was a bit of a slow start. Only picking up 7 points from the first 9 games maybe wasn't so much what Ian Everts will have been hoping for, never mind the supporters. There was a lot of enthusiasm surrounding the side coming into this season, and with that comes expectation as well. And it's an expectation that Ian Everts himself wanted. Yeah, he wanted to put the pressure on himself and put the pressure on his players, because he believes that this is a side that can certainly be challenging for the promotion honours come the end of the season. So, having only picked up 7 points from the first 9 games of the campaign, there may have been a bit of head scratching going on, but when you look at the performances as a whole during those 9 games, it was a bit of a strange start, because they should have had a lot more points than what they'd picked up. The performances, nobody actually dominated in a game against Barrow. It was their own, you know, wrongdoings that aided the start that they'd had. So there was always that little bit of hope in the background that what's been going on in these past 5 games was going to happen. And, you know, on the back of those results, additions were made. Matt Platt came in on loan from Blackburn Rovers, the final piece in the jigsaw, you could probably say, in terms of the defence, and, you know, a little tweak in the formation, and suddenly they have a team that has that confidence. I think the win against Aldershot at the start of September was the turning point, because before that they'd led in every single away game in the campaign but couldn't pick up the points. I think there was just the one draw against Chesterfield, where again in that game they were 2-0 up and cruising and could have been about 8-0 up, ending up falling back and drawing 2-2. So there was a degree of, you know, opportunity there. They picked up the 3 points against Aldershot, and from there they've not looked back. In a fantastic little mini run of form, where 5 wins out of 5 have suddenly turned it right around, and, you know, we're coming into the game against Bromley, 8th in the table, and with a serious view of really pushing for a place in the playoffs. So I think coming into the game against Bromley, we are where we wanted to be. You know, we're in a good opportunity of squeezing into those playoff places, and, you know, hopefully long may it continue. There's a big month coming up in October, and you've just got to take it, you know, it's cliche, each game at a time. But certainly I think Ian Everts will be delighted with where they are in the table now, and certainly the supporters are looking at it with a degree of enthusiasm once again. Looking back at the summer, I think it was a fantastic summer, really, for Barrow. He never identified the players that he wanted to bring in, and they were bought in. You know, he was never having to scratch his head thinking about missing out on someone. You know, he went out and got who he wanted to get. So I've certainly not seen a summer like it in terms of, you know, my role with BBC Radio Cumbria, and as well as that, the fact that, you know, I am a Barrow supporter of 20 plus years. 12 players retained from last season's squad, so there is a degree of familiarity with the Barrow setup, that, you know, supporters aren't playing guessing games over who's he, and it meant that they could have a full pre-season, you know, working together. So I don't think you could have asked for more, really, with regards the pre-season, you know, and the squad rebuild, you know, from last season's 10th place finish. Key players for Barrow, obviously, when you look at this mini run that they're on, you've got to look at the likes of John Rooney and Scott Quigley. You know, 9 goals to his name already for John Rooney from midfield. If you look even further than that, 19 goals in 60 appearances for the club since he arrived last summer. So, you know, you've got a case there of a goal every 3 games from centre midfield, which is, you know, a great, you know, impressive turnaround. Scott Quigley, there was a degree of, you know, guest games when he was signed, given a 3-year contract. You don't see, you know, many 3-year deals bandied around in the non-league game, but he's standing up to that billing. 8 goals in 11 appearances for the club since arriving. You know, fantastic. It's just what they wanted, really. When you looked at last season, they never really had that talisman up front. Scott Quigley's come in, and there you've got the hope of a 20-goal season striker right there for the club. I think as well as that, it's the whole spine of the team, really. You've got Joel Dixon in goal, a fantastic shot stopper. You know, the confidence for him since establishing himself as the number one for Barrow. He's our longest serving player now in the squad, and he just seems to get better and better with every appearance. Then when you throw into the mix Matt Platt at centre half, he's a young lad who's coming on loan from Blackburn, maybe in his, you know, final chance to prove that he may be capable of pushing into the first team setup at Ewood Park. If not, he's certainly more than capable of being in the Football League. So you've got him at centre half. The midfield pairing of John Rooney and Jason Taylor, I think, is a revelation. You know, with Jason Taylor, you've got the old head that does the running around, you know, does all the nitty gritty, and he's also a leader. He commands, and that's what you want on the field of play. And it does free up John Rooney to be able to go and do what John Rooney likes to do, and that's get the ball to his feet, distribute. His distribution is phenomenal, and push forward and get involved with the attacking moves. And obviously in the middle, Scott Quigley. I think it's a perfect five-a-side side, you could probably say, with, you know, those 5 players that I've picked there. What do I expect from the game against Bromley? They're always difficult games. You know, we've played Bromley 8 times over the past years and haven't yet recorded a victory. We've come close on a couple of occasions, but, you know, we've been on the end of some absolute hidings as well.
A huge thank you to Adam for his insight on that. Always great to hear from opposition, someone in the opposition camp, I should say, and a very in-depth one from Adam there. Just to add my man to watch, I'm going to go for 2 this week, if that's not cheating. John Rooney and Scott Quigley, both in fantastic form, have been scoring a lot of goals recently. So they'll definitely be 2 to watch out for. John Rooney, of course, brother of Wayne. Looking forward to the game, Cookie?
I am. I'm going to be as busy as ever, suited up.
Suited and booted.
Yeah, look, we're going to bounce back. I'm confident the team's up for it. The team's been in great spirits all weekend, all week as well. I'm not going to do score predictions because we haven't been doing it.
We don't do that anymore.
Yeah,
no.
Not going to start now. But yeah, looking forward to it. Obviously, tickets are still available on the Bromley FC website, bromleyfc.co.uk, and you can get your tickets from there. Just make sure you click the correct link because there's one for home, one for away. We are segregated tomorrow for that. Obviously, yeah, so we'd love to see as many as you down here tomorrow. We know Crystal Palace are away to West Ham, so obviously those that can't get there and come down, because Charlton are away as well, Millwall are at home to Leeds, so we would love to see as many as you can. Obviously, tuning on the Bromley boys, bring the noise, and it's going to be fantastic to hopefully get a result. And also, quiz night after the game.
Quiz night after. Quiz. Well, I wonder which player will be the brightest. We'll soon see. Yes, looking forward to that. Obviously, tickets still available, as you mentioned, online until 1 o'clock on the day of the game. And then thereafter, they'll be available on the turnstiles, obviously, for the slightly different prices. For all of the details, as Cookie said, bromleyfc.co.uk. Little thing to touch on, it's the FA Cup draw on Monday, Cookie, in which we will find out our opponents for the 19th of October. And Neil has actually been rung up and asked to go on TalkSport for it.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think the BT Sport, the Gaffer documentary has really put him in a fantastic light that we all see every single day at the football club. And yeah, they rung up asking if he could go on. So he's going to go up on Monday. He's going to be there for the draw. So
not on the phone, he's actually going to the studio.
He's going to go to the studio. So yeah, look, it's it's going to be, it's just one of them nervous times, because the amount of times that we've gone into this fourth round qualifier and we've picked an Eastleigh, or we've drawn a Dover, or we've done this in Sutton and all of this. And but then again, obviously, you look for an easy team, but a few years ago, we had Haybury Swifts
got knocked out.
So you take nothing for granted, but fingers crossed. I mean, you would say an easy draw. No draw's easy, but you just want a favourable home draw, you would like to say, just so you've got the crowd behind you as well. But obviously, let's see what happens and who we pull from the hat on Monday.
Yes, looking forward to it.
And but that's 1 o'clock on TalkSport.
I think
too,
it is. Right? Yes, it is. And we'll obviously keep everyone up to date on the Twitter, Facebook, website, etc. So keep an eye on that for more details. Once again, if you'd like to get in touch with us here at Ravens Weekly, you can email podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. You can tweet us at @BromleyFC using the hashtag Ravens Weekly. We're also on Instagram and Facebook at @BromleyFC, and you can get in touch with us there as well. Cookie, I think that's that.
Yeah, it seems short and sweet this week, but I think we covered everything. Obviously, only having one game this week against Yeovil, and one game this Saturday coming up against Barrow. Not loads to cover, but listen, guys, thank you very much for listening as you continue to do and show your support for Ravens Weekly, and that's why we continue to bring it to you every week. I think that's it. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, Cookie, thank you for joining me.
And thank you for joining me.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks once again. That's the stuff you're giving us. There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley.